Time for the best post-game fan show in college basketball. It's time for the Smart Way Garza Law Firm Tennessee Basketball Overtime, the place where the Big Orange Universe from all around the world gathers to talk about tonight's game. Unfiltered, uncensored, and wholeheartedly unapologetic. Get on the line with us right now, 865-200-5402. That's 865-200-5402. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony Basilio. Now, here's your host of the Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, the man who's been keeping it real for Vol fans for almost a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tony Basilio.
Basketball
Tony Jones and Mark Griffin. Tony Jones and Mark Griffin. How you guys doing? Welcome in. How y'all doing?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, guys, what time's our game start tonight? What time we tip off?
7 p.m. Eastern time.
7:10 Eastern?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. Mark, let me know. Would you let me know, Mark? Let me know when we tip off tonight, okay? I want to watch our game.
I'll let you know because that wasn't the Tennessee team I'm used to seeing. So you're right. I guess they haven't played yet.
I don't know, guys. Now, we just lost to a team that's lost 17 straight games. We just gave up 92 points to a team that can't throw it in the ocean.
Embarrassing.
Guys, any thoughts? Lay it on me.
I mean, you know, being a part of Tennessee basketball history and you know, being a fan of this fan base and loving this fan base, I just bleed for it because this is one of the most disappointing performances of a Tennessee basketball team in recent history. To lose to a team that really doesn't have anything to play for. You know, the media, in Baton Rouge is saying Johnny Jones is dead man walking. And, it's sad, to think that we couldn't come to Baton Rouge and win this basketball game because I know I don't even remember the last time I lost in Baton Rouge. We were a bad team at Auburn when I was there. We went down there and won. And just about Tennessee, we went down there and won. So let me say this, though, about LSU. They do have some talent. Antonio Blakeney is talented.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Sam played a really good game. And, I mean, you know, they have some play, and not like Missouri.
Right.
Missouri, Mark, me, you, Keith Hatfield, Dino, Tony, even with your bad back could go out there and be more formidable than a Missouri team that they're suiting up. But still the Lewis team, is disappointing.
I got a couple numbers for you, and I just don't relate to this, okay? A team in LSU, and by the way, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. As the Volunteers lose tonight, and Tennessee now finds itself in serious trouble, in serious jeopardy of not making the NIT. Forget the NCAA. Kerry Keating Invitational, here we come. Mark, our bench, their bench tonight outscored our bench 49-31. Honk if you saw that coming, Mark.
Couldn't see it coming at all, Tony. I've got a bad stomach ache right now after watching that performance.
Is it that or John Curry? After your tweet, is it that or John Curry?
It's both. I think it's just a bad week right now if you're a Tennessee fan. And what's disheartening is knowing how well they played against Blakeney or how bad Blakeney played.
Right.
And he's such a crucial part of that offense. He's going to be playing professional ball somewhere probably next year. And everybody else stepped up for LSU, and we looked like we couldn't guard anybody. Even the senior that probably hadn't even scored any points all year scored against us tonight. And it was just embarrassing to watch. I was at a restaurant tonight watching, and people were just shaking their head at me because I was so tuned into the game. And they're thinking, why are you so into this game when Tennessee's playing so badly? And I'm like, well, I've got to go on a radio show afterwards.
Yeah.
And it was hard to digest my food, and I'm sure all of your callers and listeners will feel the same way. You're supposed to be getting better this time of the year going into tournament play, and then you come up against a team that has, like Coach said, has nothing to play for, and lay an egg.
I'm calling on Claire Stone right now to weigh in on the John Curry deal. So, Claire, if you're listening, 865-200-5402. Mark, I'm looking at this ball club. Obviously, they're not finishing well. Obviously, they've hit a wall. Obviously, they are what they are. Obviously, as Tony said earlier in the year, and people didn't want to hear him, but Tony was on here specifically with us. And Tone, I'm going to bring you back to that, Tone. You told everybody back in January when we played that spate of good basketball. You said when we look up at the end of the year, this team will be fortunate to be right there around 500 because that's what they are. You said this will be a 500 basketball team. But, Tony, even you then or now didn't think this team would go down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana and lose 10 points, did you?
No, I didn't think that. But, you know, after Wednesday, what was it, Wednesday night?
Wednesday night. Yeah.
I said that, you know, don't sleep on LSU. Don't go down to Baton Rouge and think you can go there and win the basketball game just by showing up, because that just doesn't happen, in this league. And, you know, what it's shown me is I think the team has really, you say hit the wall. I think they've really given up. And this is my perspective.
Wow.
Watching it. Straight from a coaching mentality, is I think Rick has really got on him a little bit too much.
Mm.
Historically been a player's coach. He's had Durant, he's had Aldridge, PJ Ford, PJ Tucker. I mean, the list goes on, and he lets those guys play. He's had his thumb on the pulse of this team, and I think he's really, really, I mean, but his Grant Williams, he's on Grant Williams. He's on Robert Hubbs a lot. I mean, and you have to do that. But, you know, you're talking about 18 to 22-year-old kids, and I think the message is kind of been overbearing. And when you start losing, it can snowball, and it's epic proportion by Luke here. And it wouldn't surprise me if they lost Saturday and lost the first round of the SEC tournament. You know, this is the thing. They don't have a point guard. Lamonte Turner is looking for his shot a little bit too, but Jordan Bone is a freshman. He needs to get stronger. They don't have a guy that can lead the team. If they're going to be a better team next year, in my estimation, they need to go get a fifth-year senior point guard to be able to handle the other upperclassmen who are intricate parts of their team. I like Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, and the like. And you know, Jordan Bowden, you know, those kids coming back. So it's just disappointing. But as a coach, I see what's going on with this team, and it's not easy to watch, from my estimation.
Mark Griffin, before we go to the phones, Tony's assertion is, you heard him, he didn't mince his words. These guys quit. Griff, where are you on that, Griff?
Well, I think tonight was evidence that they quit. What just had no energy and
yep.
no one really standing up and cheering for each other on the bench and the guys helping each other as far as chattering, with their teammates, encouraging their teammates when they got down.
Yep.
I didn't see any really great body language that we normally see that could give you a reason that they could fight back. It was just heads were down. It was just like people were not playing well as a team and just didn't get after defensively. You could have a bad night offensively, but you can't take off in the SEC defensively. And it seemed like they didn't care if a guy blew by him. I mean, I saw Admiral Schofield get blown by the whole night.
What?
And make some bonehead plays. They were down by 8, and he had an unforced turnover, which we could have gone down by 5, turned the game around. He made some stupid half-court pass to the LSU player. I mean, you just can't have that coming down the clutch.
That was right there at the end of the game. You're talking about like 3.5 minutes left, right?
Yeah, we cut it to 8. I mean, we're still in the game.
What the hell?
And it's just bonehead plays and not helping each other defensively when you're getting blown by.
Yeah.
And it's just very frustrating because you didn't see that help side defense when guys were getting beat and people cheering each other besides the walk-on.
I'll say this, and I appreciate the passion in your voice, the passion in Tony's voice tonight, because quite frankly, I don't have it. Because it's kind of getting beaten out of me, but that's okay. Enough about me. I'm boring. The truth is, when you look at this team, Tony's right. Barnes made a decision when he came here. He was not going to recruit upper echelon guys. And he was going to coach these kids and coach them hard. Harder than he coached his kids at Texas. It's a different deal, what he's doing here. There he tried to win with talent. Here he's trying to take guys that were overlooked, or like I call it, Charlotte's offer list, which is essentially what it is. Desmond Oliver brought all those kids that Charlotte was going to sign in here. And it worked out early on in the season. It worked out. As we've gone along and teams have adjusted, which happens at this level,
mm-hmm.
Tony says, if this team doesn't go, you got to go add. And this is what always happens here. We get the Z's Pons guy who ordinarily should get you excited until you think, well, can he handle the ball? Because that's really what this team needs. I mean, it's great they got a guy that's 6'8", who's a rangy guy, can shoot it a little bit, and that's wonderful. But really, I'll trade you him for a good solid point guard. Would you make that trade, Mark?
I would, and you and I talked last show about the importance of the NCAA tournament and SEC and these guys getting in the conference play. What is it? It's guard.
All guard play.
Guard play that carries teams to further within the tournament, because you have to have someone that's a quarterback to take care of the ball and it can hit free throws. And we just don't have that. And it's just unfortunate that you've got Lamonte that wants to try to be a wild scorer, and Jordan Bones just not strong enough right now.
No, he's not.
I don't know if he's hit a wall, if anybody has. I think he has with his strength, because, like you said, team scout, and they know they could take it right at him because he's not strong enough to defend.
Yep.
I definitely agree with Coach Jones that we need a fifth-year point guard, or even a JUCO point guard to come in if there's any out there to help this team, because they really needed it tonight, that's for sure.
And a guy I feel for, Tone, is a guy in Robert Hubbs who really elevated his game, you know, early on in the year. But his game recently has come and gone. He obviously is not himself. He's obviously hurt, and fans are getting on him, and I understand he's kind of sleepy looking, and you know, he went with the dreadlock look, and it worked for a game for him against Missouri, and, you know, he's shown flashes. But, Tone, this whole team tonight, you cannot, Tony, and then we'll go to the phones. You can't give up 92 points to LSU, Tony. They haven't won a game since January the 4th, Tone.
January the 4th, that was the comment made by the commentators. The turnovers hurt us.
Right.
Alluded to an important turnover by Admiral Schofield. Grant Williams made an important turnover late in the game, too, when he couldn't find a guard, and the turnover was at half court. Those were turnovers when if we knock a three, then we get LSU to thinking because they're used to lose. Then if you put them in a situation where, you know, a 1 or 2 possession game, send them to the free throw line, then they're going to tighten up a little bit. I mean, it was only, a family and friends game tonight, as you can see.
Exactly. I mean, that's another point. You played in front of about 100 people. It wasn't like you were playing a road game.
Right. And then when the referees, when these referees, Teddy Valentine and Joe Lindsay, those guys see that LSU is playing to win, then you got another variable going.
No question.
Downhill, and it's disappointing. It was actually, Tony.
Yeah.
It was disappointing to watch. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell our listeners, a portion of the first half, I'm going to be real. And if E. Jones, if I keep it live, heard it the Sanders son around the 6 minutes first half.
You're breaking up, Tone. Say that one more time. Go ahead.
I about 6 minutes to go in the first half, I changed the station to Sanford and Son. And then I went back to the game with about 2 minutes to go in the first half because it was just so boring.
What episode was on of Sanford and Son?
Grady and Lamont was going against Fred because he was going against Rollo.
Dude, Rollo is so awesome. Sanford and Son, so awesome. That's a great episode. Nobody blames you. When Aunt Esther is one of my all-time favorites, I had a crush on her as a child. She was so next level. I love Grady. There's no question. And that is much more exciting than the way we played basketball tonight. I'm coming for you. And I'll tell you what. When I heard John Curry was going to be our AD yesterday, I grabbed my heart and said, I'm coming for you, Elizabeth.
Oh, my goodness.
To which Tony Jones gives me no comment. Now all of a sudden the cat's got T. Jones Live's tongue.
We'll comment later on.
Yeah, we will. And I know you'll keep it real.
Let, let's talk about the game.
All right.
Let's get some callers in.
Let's go to the phones. That's right.
Commentary on John Curry later.
Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee basketball overtime on a night where I wish Keith Hatfield to get well. Let's get our first call of the night on a night where my phones are, like, going nuts. I'm sorry for the flangey sound. We've had all kinds of thunderstorms, water in the lines, water in my brain. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Tony, John Tweet, what are you saying, buddy?
Hey, brother, welcome in.
Hey, if Curry was sitting behind Rick Barnes tonight, what kind of night do you think he would have been?
Probably been worried about who had their uniform tucked in, who didn't, and if there were any NCAA violations.
I think every time I kind of pull on this, and maybe it's just because it's what I noticed, but there was, at some point during the first half, it was, game was, you know, we had been leading, and then they started to take the lead, and then we get a silly turnover, and then they're up 6 or 7 in a hurry, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, timeout, and you just see Barnes standing over there just waiting for something to happen. I still don't get it. I still don't get what you're saving them for. You know what I mean? And I think this was maybe early in the second half because it was around that 54-51 point.
Mm.
And next thing I know, they're up 7 or 8, and then it's 9, and then it's almost like you can't get back in it or they have trouble getting back in it. I guess second half he's saving some, but God bless.
No. Oh, when they go down 12, I'm sitting there thinking, are you alive? Is anybody alive over there? Are you watching? Griff, did you have, and there goes that damn phone again. Griff, did you have the same thought that I had, which is somebody like going to take time out and scream and yell? I mean, somebody?
Yeah, I was hoping maybe even one of the players would just call it on their own and not play on Coach Barnes.
Like, what are we doing here, guys? We're losing to a team that has lost, I think it was, well, how many straight was it? 17 straight? Is that the number? Whatever, the 15 straight?
Can you imagine being 1-15 in LSU in league play, and now they're 2-15, and you're one of the two?
And the other one, as Tony said, was the pickup team that Missouri fields. So they'd lost 15 straight coming in. They hadn't won in close to 2 months. 2 months.
Tony, we had a possession where we missed 3 shots on one possession, and 2 of them were layups. And then turned around and gave a layup on the other end away. They come down, didn't score again, and they got another layup. It was like a 15-point turnaround or
something like that. And to Tony Jones's point earlier, Mark, how many blowbys were there in that basketball game?
They had a lot of layups. A lot of layups.
Mark, how many blowbys?
Oh, tons. And I was trying to keep count, and I lost count. And stupid me, I kept thinking we were going to come back and win.
Me too!
We're going to win that game. I was like, we're going to come back and win. We're going to come back and win. And Admiral made that bonehead play, making a half-court pass after a rebound. And I'm like, we're still going to come back.
Yeah, we're coming back.
LSU does not know how to win. And we gave that game to them. They don't even know how to win.
No, they're horrendous. That's exactly right. If you're close in that game, you can get them to crack, because they haven't closed a game out in 2 months. You would have to try to do what Tennessee did tonight in that deal.
Guys, how have we gotten worse as the season's progressed? How have we gotten worse?
Well, Tony's right. At some point, when you browbeat and beat guys down, Mark said this when he played with when he played for Coach DeVoe. At some point, a team just goes, you know what? That was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, this season's over. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Griff, that is true, what Tone said. You know that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a fine line there. There's a fine line there.
You know, I think we had a call.
And then the players rule. The players stop listening to the coach, too.
Right.
They block out the coach, you know, getting on them.
Yeah.
And then they start taking it more personal, which they shouldn't do in the first place, but
right.
They do.
Right.
And then they're thinking, you know what, I got spring break coming up, and I hate to say that, but they're like, okay, if we advance to the tournament, we give up spring break. And some of these kids think about that. You don't think they do, but I can tell you when we played years ago, we're kind of like, do we really want to go to the NIT or do we want to go to Daytona?
Boy, that was a damnedest. That tonight was the damnedest thing maybe I've ever witnessed. On the heels of that announcement yesterday, you talk about somebody that's reevaluating what they do for a living, and I am not joking. You think I'm joking? I'm not. I mean, people are going to turn this thing on one day, and I'm not going to be here. You're going to have me to kick around anymore, and you're going to go, man, he was serious. I can promise you right now, I am serious.
The only saving grace before I jump off is that we possibly kept Johnny Jones' job. Good day.
Have a Dwight Gooden. 865-200-5402. Tony, I'm thinking about what you said in terms of just the, at some point, people check out. At some point, athletes do, right? I mean, you push. Hey, I think Butch Jones had a little bit of that. I mean, you know, look. I can only tell you how bad you are so much, and then eventually, you just say, hey, that's enough of this.
Marky Boy Griffin had a great point about spring break and about start thinking about their own self. Start thinking about not the team goals, but my goals and what my AAU coach is telling me, what my brother or my friend or my mom or dad is telling me. You got to get yours
done. No question.
And that's what's happening. I mean, just let's look at this, guys, and you watch the game like I did. Look at the end of the game, Lamonte Turner, what he was doing offensively. The last 2.5-3 minutes, what did he do offensively but shoot the ball?
He was freelancing.
We got an offensive rebound.
Hyper.
He shot it again. I mean,
Tony, don't you call timeout and say to him, you ain't doing that on my time? Don't you do that?
I mean, I think Rick had resigned himself to the loss. And then another point, I mean, I can go back to when we played Wichita State. Mark Turgeon was the coach. We lost to those guys. It was C.J. Watson and Andre Patterson's year. Major Wingate was on the team. And our guys, it was spring break that was going to commence upon us on Monday. We played on a Saturday. And if we won, we would have stayed in school. We would have played on that Wednesday, Friday. The kids wanted to go on spring break. And I mean, I'm going to tell you, that's a variable when you're talking about 18 to 22-year-olds and their mindset sometimes.
You know, look, here's the thing. It's a long season. See, I don't think fans understand, Mark, how emotionally draining it is to play on a 500 basketball team like Tennessee is right now. I mean, 2 weeks ago, they had something in their grasp. 2 weeks ago, look, 9-10 days ago, guys, we were talking about, I remember having a spirited conversation with Jerry Palm on the air, and Jerry Palm said, Tennessee's not, they're not even considered by me. Why, Jerry? He said, because they're not 4 over 500. And I'm like, well, that's a little harsh. And I feel like calling him back and going, you were right. But the point is, Mark, Tony's, and you know this from being on both sides of it, this thing is a grind when you're 500, isn't it?
No, it's a grind because you're trying to get over the hump, and then it's, you try not to let the whole bubble thing get to you, but you're watching these other programs play and you're following them and you're like, well, why couldn't that be us? You're getting upset. Why can't we beat Vanderbilt now? They're the hot team and we beat them in Nashville. So you're starting comparing yourself to other programs even and other players that are getting theirs, and you get away from that team concept.
Yep.
And you get away from coaches' principles.
Yep.
Which is very unfortunate. I know it's very challenging for Coach Barnes and staff to keep the guys focused, but that's what they get the big dollars to do, and sometimes just hard with 18 to 20-year-old kids to stay focused throughout a long season.
Yeah.
And they're not used to being in this position as well, so it's perplexing for the players because they've not gone through this season like they went through last year, with the losses they did. So it's just tough on the kids.
Here's the deal. And here's the thing Tony was just talking about a second ago, and he's right about this. And I don't think people understand this. Not only do you have the spring break thing, but he said something that was golden just a second ago. And this is more prevalent in basketball maybe than any other sport. And guys, it's this. From the time a kid is in 6th or 7th grade, if he's a Division I basketball player, he's got people chewing on him, telling him how great he is. And then he gets to college, and I don't care what college he goes to. I don't care what level he goes to. The reality becomes that there are 13 of him, and they look just like him, and they're just as big as he is, and they're just as fast as he is, and they jump just as high as he does. And now all of a sudden, he's got to deal with that reality. And you know, Tony, Mark, everybody listen to me. These guys have people, hey, when you get in the game, I don't care if he calls your number or not, you got to get your shots. You got to get your points. You know, guys, we made a point a couple weeks ago because I pointed it out. I thought it was a great sign, guys, a couple weeks ago that we saw very little of that. Up till about 4 or 5 games ago, Tony, with this basketball team, we saw very little. As they've played what I will refer to as shitty basketball here down the stretch, which is what it is, there's been a lot of selfish play. A lot of selfish play. Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
I hadn't seen, the high post shuffle cut, the little baseline screen to, get isolations on the mismatch in the post. I didn't see a lot of that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see none of it at South Carolina.
No.
The turnovers, when we were, during that stretch when we were winning basketball games and playing well, we would make that and one. And
that's right.
And one means,
that's right.
From the coaching vernacular, is you make that next pass. You make the pass out of the double team, and then you make the next pass, then and one, then another pass where the rotation is difficult to get there, and then you got a wide open shot. That hasn't been prevalent in these last few games, and now it's what is it, 3 in a row, and then 5 out of the last 6.
4 out of 5, yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, whatever it is, it's been some terrible basketball, and it's a shame because this team really won our hearts, and now they're just ripping our hearts out. And that's, and you know what? That's a shame for them. That's a shame because they've really played hard, but down the stretch here, something's happened, and they have, something has snapped because it is just not the same. It is just, it doesn't even resemble the same team.
No, it's not the same team. It's, when Jordan Bowden's illness came upon us,
yep.
You know, that was important because he was a starter.
Yep.
He was got to stretch the defense. And,
yep.
And let's don't discount that variable in the play. But again, point guard, perimeter play, backcourt play. I mean, look at Kansas. I don't know if you guys watched the Kansas-Oklahoma game.
Unreal.
Oklahoma was giving it to Kansas.
Unreal.
And then those guards just took over the game.
I'd like to, hey, Tone, I'd like to have a half of Kansas's guard play.
Hey.
I'm not kidding. Like a half of it.
Vandy was handing it to Kentucky last night.
Yep.
And then the perimeter and the guard play.
That's right.
De'Aaron Fox and obviously we the player of the year, Malik Monk, came to play. I mean, it's just perimeter play, guard play gets it done. When you got a guy that can have the ball in his hand and he can make a play, whether it's scoring the ball, whether it's drive, draw, dishing, or if it's drive, draw, and creating, some help uphill, and then you spoon feed for the dunk shot. So, that's what we don't have. We don't have guys that can create for others to make the game a little bit easier on the offensive end.
Smart Way, Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. My name's Tony Basilio. Tony Jones, the voice you're hearing. And former Vol great Mark Griffin. Let's go back to the phones as we are somehow 33 minutes into this excursion, and I feel like we've given you a better effort than we saw tonight. At LSU, as the Vols fall to the Tiger Bengals, 92-82. Tennessee now 14-15 overall, 7-10 in the league. And let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Don. Welcome in, man.
Tell you what, the last 2 days has certainly been depressing. Tom Jones talking about watching Sanford and saying, for the second Wednesday in a row, I sat here and realized that I missed my favorite show on Wednesday night, Lethal Weapon.
Oh, Lethal Weapon, yeah. Anything, listen, anything would be better than tonight's game. Anything.
You got it.
I'd rather watch reruns of Mama's Family.
Yeah. You know, and you probably may have already, if not, if before the game, somebody would have told you that we'd have shot 43.5 and from three, hit 10 threes, shoot 84.6, or maybe that's 90, no, it's 84.6, 22 out of 26 from the free throw line. Grant Williams would have 16 points and 14 boards. Anybody convince you that Tennessee's going to lose the game?
No. Don, they gave up 92 points to a team that hadn't been able to score 92 points in 2 games this year. I mean, have you seen a Tennessee team play that little defense in your life than Tennessee played tonight?
Oh, I mean, it was just, I've never seen that in life. They had, Admiral had, 2 fouls in the first 3 minutes of the game. And then, so he goes out for a good while. Comes back in, immediately gets a third foul. He's back out on the, back over to the bench. Why Quay Parker ever was on that floor in the second half when we was trying to catch up, I have no idea.
That poor kid. Just, that poor guy.
Yeah, Quay's just, he's lost.
He's a Harlem Globetrotter, man. He's an awesome athlete.
Oh, yes. He just, what was the kid's name that played here? Oh, gosh, several years back. And then as a fifth-year senior, he went out in the spring for football that could jump out of the gym.
He's a great kid, too. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah, he was boyfriend of one of the Lady Vols.
Tony, who was that kid, Tony? He played for y'all, the kid that tried out of safety for the Vols.
I know who you're talking
You guys
about.
Inherited him. What was his name?
He could absolutely jump out of the gym.
He was, Stanley Assunu.
Stanley Assunu.
That was a great athlete. He was a great athlete.
Now, who used to go with Candace Park?
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Now, you think about this. Quay Parker, I guess, is what you'd call poor man Stanley Assunu. Stanley could play some basketball. He wasn't no star, but he could play. I don't know that Quay Parker can play basketball.
I'll tell you what, I'd like to see Quay Parker put him at wide receiver with his jumping ability.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee he'd get you a 50-50 ball in the corner of the end zone.
Oh, absolutely. You know, going back on these stats and what happened tonight, and we play horrible defense, period. No, there's no other way to put it. But have you ever seen so many circus shots go in? How about the one on the rebound?
You know what that shot was? If you were to describe our athletic director search we just had,
yep,
it was that shot.
Absolutely.
A ball tipping off the side of some guy's neck, off the heel of his neck going into the bucket. That is John Curry right there getting our job.
I got you. I agree with that 100%.
What in the hell are we doing?
Well, I hate what's happened, mainly for the kids, but you're absolutely, Tony was right, Tony Jones. I can remember games during that four-game winning streak we had that seems like it was a year ago now, when we would have like 30 points on 20 assists. And then we go games where we got 2 and 3 assists for the whole basketball game. Nobody seems. And did you ever, just a few weeks ago, everybody want to know where Shabari Phillips is. Guess who played more minutes than anybody for us tonight? Shabari Phillips, 32 minutes.
That's what's weird about this team. And Griff, we've talked about this, is there's no rhyme or reason for who plays and for how much they play, right?
No, each night you don't know who's going to get time. I was a little surprised that Jordan Bowden didn't get more time tonight. Yep. I thought that he played really well at the beginning. And then I'm thinking, well, did I miss something on defense? But if he sat him for defense, you have to sit the whole team. So
I think they sat him. I was just wondering if he didn't, coming back pneumonia. Yeah.
I would imagine coming back from pneumonia probably limited his minutes. That's probably a good thought, Don.
Well, he had 8 points in the first half. He finished with 8.
Yeah.
Jordan Bone had 9 points the first half. He finished with 9. And he turned the ball over some and things like that. But Jordan was, offensively was playing pretty good ball. I just don't know what Coach Barnes's philosophy. I know none of them are playing well, but you look up and, I know in one streak there, he took Jordan out right after he had, went to the free throw line and hit 4 straight free throws. And I'm like, why is he coming out of the game?
Wow.
Because the first thing that happened, Lamonte Turner came in, and within 3 seconds, turned the ball over.
Tony is, Tony's got a good point. If this guy's smart now, he, when they get a scholarship open, goes and gets himself an experienced fifth-year guy, somebody he can hand a basketball to and go lead my team next year and let Bone learn to play behind that guy. I mean, If he doesn't do that, guys, I'm telling you right now, you're going to have Yves Pons all you want. You're going to have Yves Saint Laurent. You're going to be 500 next year. You're going to be 500 next year. Be right in this spot next year if they don't address that guard play.
Well, the kid that we turned into a big shooter last year that got hurt and missed the last few games, it was, you know, like second in the league in scoring. And
Punter
played the point.
Kevin Punter, yeah.
Yeah, Punter was a better point guard than anything we got.
No question.
He wasn't even a point guard.
This is a sad deal. Don, I appreciate your call. Thanks for your passion, man. Thanks for being there on a night like tonight. And Tony, he brought up some great points. I mean, if you look at that stat sheet, you know, like the rotation, and that's something I know you were in charge of at several stops. It's hard to dull those minutes out. It just is. But it's weird here how it's been done, especially lately.
Yeah, it's you know what, kids like consistency.
Yeah,
and when they know they're gonna play, they know they're gonna be playing a certain amount of minutes, and they have a comfort level. Shabari Phillips, he played a good game. You got to give it to him. See, everything has been skewed by Jordan Bowden's illness. I mean, he had pneumonia, so you take an important component of the Volunteers lineup and chemistry and you take it out of the game and then you try and incorporate it back in and then, you know, you incorporate someone who hasn't been playing and then the timing can be off in some instances. Robert Hubb, there's been reports that his knee has been drained and he's not totally healthy. That could be a factor also. Grant Williams and guys, and I'd be interested in your opinion on this, Mark. Grant Williams is, I think, trying to do a little bit too much, instead of taking what the defense gives him. And, he's being a little bit overly aggressive and it's really, taking some of the dynamics and chemistry out of the Volunteer offense. And then, the bottom line is you give up 92 points to the last place team in the SEC. That means you're getting driven by. That means you're giving up uncontested shots. You're giving up multiple opportunities, and that's not a recipe to win basketball games.
Mark, your thoughts on what Tony just said?
No, I think Coach brings up a great point about Williams and what really stood out to me about Grant the last five or six games is he's been mouthing off more to the referees than he ever did at the beginning of the season.
That's a great point.
And I think that's been getting to him mentally because if he's not getting the call, then you've got to earn the call and you've got to keep your mouth shut because these refs are going to look out for people that talk and they're going to lean towards not giving a call. It's just human nature. But I think Coach is right. I think that his chemistry has been disrupted because he's more focused on getting a call than he is playing, than he has been focusing on getting the ball in the basket and trying to take it to these big guys versus step back and play to his height because it is what it is. His height, if he's 6'4", 6'5", he can't just bruise into the 6'10 guys if they're standing straight up because they're not going to get those calls. He's got to go ahead and take his open shot and use his body. But I think he's just trying to do a little too much and frustration's coming out, which has affected his overall game.
And teams have run at him, and they've gotten film on him. And I've sensed the last couple games watching him that he's extremely frustrated with what's around him. I don't think there's any
and
doubt.
And what else is frustrated,
go ahead.
Frustrated for him,
yeah.
Tony, is now you're seeing more teams, and this is how I would play Tennessee. Every time the ball went in the post, I would double the post.
No
Why?
Question.
Because Tennessee doesn't have another effective post player who can catch the ball.
That's
the
point.
I mean, Kyle Alexander's got butterfingers.
Yeah.
He doesn't catch the ball at all. Lou's not a threat to score the ball when he's in there.
Yeah.
So you can leave him open when he is on the post.
Yeah.
And I would double the post every time. And I think it's just catching up with Grant. He's getting frustrated.
I'll tell you what, man. He's had a great freshman year. And he's brought his lunch pail every night. And he brought it tonight. I mean, he, you know, on a night where they were pretty dead, to the world the basketball team was. Grant Williams still goes out in the night's game, and though he fouls out. He finishes with 16 points in the night's game. You know, he only goes 3 of 9 from the field, but he grabs 14 boards. I mean, he does so many little things well. But you're right, Mark. The thing I've noticed is he has gotten much more verbal with the officials. And, you know, at some point, that ends up going against you because officials are not going to give you calls when calls are there if you're too lippy. I mean, there's a fine line there. So, I don't know. I just looking at tonight's game, it's just really sad. And let's go back to our phones. I just hate this because this team has had a really nice season. And they've gotten the most out of who they are. And just to see them go out tonight and just be so lifeless against such a bad basketball team is just unthinkable. It is just unthinkable. Unthinkable. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us. Again, 865-200-5402. How great of a basketball market are we in? 45 minutes into the show, we're still getting phone calls on a night where the Vols get housed by LSU. 92-82, and I've never seen anything like tonight. I mean, that team they played is straight garbage. Now, they've got some okay players, but as a team, they haven't come close to winning a game recently. But they blew us out tonight. Whoa. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony Jones. I think that team they played tonight was, you said Stanford, so it was about like on Esther or something, you know.
No, there's no question. On Esther. On Esther right now could probably get some time at point guard for us.
Hey, guys, I had a question. You know, I kind of resigned the facts of the NIT, but, you know, it's harder to make the NIT now because,
yep.
For example, they take automatic bids, like, say, Belmont stubs
sure
their toe.
Yep.
They would get in. Used to years ago, they just take the 32 best that didn't get to the big dance, but a 500 SEC team may not get in the NIT. What do you think?
Tone, speak to that, because he's right. The NIT, the criteria, is a lot more stringent than it used to be, and the NIT has made themselves matter, Tony, by inviting more mid-majors to the party and really good mid-majors to the party, Tone. I think they've turned themselves into a better tournament, Tony.
Well, we're in trouble of making the NIT. You got to understand, we went into the game tonight 15-14 and
right.
Really only 16-14.
That's right.
On Division One game. So we're below 500 now on
yep.
Division One game.
Yeah.
We're 14-15. We lose to Alabama, that's 14-16. You lose in the first round of the tournament. You don't make the NIT.
That's unbelievable.
And you don't have no postseason. But Tennessee, with, you know, with their reputation, they wouldn't play in one of those other, secondary invitational
no.
tournaments, things
no.
of that nature. That would be beneath them. And I wouldn't even suggest that they do that. Coach and the staff has to say, hey guys, if we go out and let's play well against Alabama, let's send Robert Hubbs and Lou Evans out on a positive note. That's first and foremost, the next game. And then let's see what happens in the SEC tournament. Let's win one. Let's maybe win two. Let's win three. And then you know what, guys? Let's do what Georgia did a few years ago. When nobody thought that they could do it, and they won five games and got to the NCAA tournament by winning. Am I predicting that? No, I'm not predicting that. But as a coach, that's what you have to sell to your players. And then maybe that can reinvigorate those guys and give them a mindset going into this last game, going to the SEC tournament, a new season in essence, and let's try and do something. But what's realistic is, let's get to the NIT. Let's don't blow that. And that's at stake right now. Seriously. Realistically and reality set. That is at stake right now.
You said it. You said it, man. You know what you told me? You told me last week, you said, Tony, this team could very much go to LSU and lose. And I said, Tony Jones, you're out of your mind if you really believe that. And you said,
20 years of college coaching.
You said, I know what I'm looking at.
Hey, Tony Basilio, do you think Vanderbilt could be one of the first teams to get in with 15 losses? The national pundits are talking. I don't think so, but.
Do I think who's going to get in what?
Vanderbilt, do you think Vanderbilt will get in the NCAA with 15 losses? That's the rumor that.
It's only been done outside of the year that Tennessee, Tony Jones will tell you, the year that Tennessee played Michigan at the end of the Pearl tenure here. That year there were five teams that had, I think the magic number is 14 losses, and we had
14 losses.
And they got, and there five of them got in that year. Outside of that, in the last 23 years, there have only been two others. So if Vanderbilt does that, it'll be a statistical anomaly. The thing that helps Vanderbilt out is they've played very good basketball down the stretch. And the other thing that helps them out is a tremendous strength of schedule, which actually was better than ours somehow. So, you know, perhaps if they keep winning, if they win their final game of the regular season and win a couple in the SEC tournament, they'd have a chance.
Hey, Tony, going to this athletic director mess, a name I never heard brought up, and I don't know why he wasn't a candidate. To me, he's one of the best ADs. Why didn't they pursue Tom Jurich real hard? I think Tom Jurich is a great athletic director. Look what he's done at Louisville with their programs. Why wouldn't he have been considered?
Can't control him.
Controversial. Hire.
Controversial. They can't control him. Look, let me tell you what these people aren't interested in. They're not interested in winning. They're interested in controlling. And once you understand that, then you can manage your expectations. Look, I'm not going to let them rob my joy of watching my alma mater play sports. And I'm going to enjoy the wins and cry over the losses. But I'm going to tell you something. They wouldn't take Tom Jurich here just like they wouldn't take Steve Spurrier here. And it wouldn't matter if Jurich was squeaky clean. Doesn't matter that he wins at everything. They want John Curry because they can control him. They will wind him up, wind him down, stick him in the corner, and he will go into the corner when they tell him to. And that's what they want. And that's why they wouldn't even interview David Blackburn, because he's a man. He's accomplished. You take David Blackburn's resume and put it side by side with John Curry's, and it's a joke. It's a J-O-K-E joke. But, look, what do I know? I'll tell you this right now. The over-under on John Curry is 4 years. You can go ahead and mark my words. 4 years. And the clock will start ticking, believe it or not, when he begins his appointment here on April Fool's Day. Could life be any finer?
Hey guys, final question. How many teams will get in the big dance from the SEC? I predict there'll be four. How many do you guys think it'll be?
Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you. Tony, how many teams from the SEC in the big dance?
I think four are fully entrenched. Kentucky, Florida, South Carolina, and Arkansas. And one team that could get there, that I really believe maybe should be there by the way they've been playing is Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt should have beat Kentucky last night. Vanderbilt's been playing really, really well.
Yep.
Hey, Tony, after Tennessee beat Vandy in Nashville, I was a guy that was on this air saying that it was the JV coaching staff against the varsity. And I really went at Bryce Drew.
You did?
And, you know, he's really kind of evolved. He's really got his guys buying into what they're doing. They're playing a certain style. I think it's going to be difficult because they have to go – play Florida in their last game,
yep.
And then they'll go into the SEC tournament with a single bye, and then they're going to play a team that could beat them. So if they lose that game, which I think they're going to lose to Florida, and if they lose that game in the first round of the SEC tournament, they're not in. But if they win that first game, I think they have an opportunity to be in. Then you got five. That's what I think the number is, and those are the variables that that I make that assertion by.
And I'll tell you something. If this league this season gets five teams in the tournament, that is a nice year. A nice year for this league. And if that Drew guy can sneak that Vanderbilt team in, Mark, that would be a hell of a coaching job by him. Because that would be pulling something. You know about pulling a rabbit out of your hat, man.
Yeah, I saw Vanderbilt play Middle Tennessee in Murfreesboro this year, and they lost 71-48, I believe the score was. And then Coach Drew, he changed his entire offense and went to Kevin Stallings' offense from the previous year based on his personnel. How many coaches would do that?
But hey, Mark, I don't want to cut you off, but this is unbelievable. When I was watching Vanderbilt the last few games, I scouted those guys at Auburn, and they were running the same thing that Coach Stallings run. I was like, what is going on?
Yep.
You know, they running these same patterns. I had them in my head, and I was like, what's going on? He didn't do this earlier in the season. So you're exactly right. Continue with your point.
No, but
I'm right. Hey, Tony, I'm rubbing off on you. You interrupted him like an Italian at the dinner table. Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry. Please
funny,
continue.
But it just shows that he being able to not worry about his ego with Coach Drew and got buy-in from his players and living in Nashville, and I hear a lot about Vanderbilt. I'm secretly admiring the job that Coach Drew has done, because you can see the drastic improvement of these players, and especially with Kressler, with the job they've done bringing him in.
No,
and I think last night, if they would have stuck to their game plan, the dribble drive, taking it to Kentucky and not just relying on the 3-point ball, I think we could have seen a different result. But like Coach Jones says, I think four teams are solidly in, and for some reason, I think the SEC tournament, we may have a surprise winner. I don't think it's going to be an automatic Kentucky championship. I think someone, and I don't know who it's going to be, but because it's so topsy turvy this season, I think we may have a surprise SEC winner to come in and give us a fifth team.
I believe. I don't think Kentucky's built for a deep run in March. Anytime you're that reliant on your outside shooting, like we saw them at night in Knoxville, I mean, you're not hitting your shots. You're going home. And to me, guys, if they get to the Elite Eight with that basketball team, that's a nice run. And I'm with you guys. In fact, I hate to say this, the way Vanderbilt's playing, guys. With that thing being in their backyard, and I know it's going to be mostly Kentucky fans in there, but Vandy's going to have the advantage of home cooking, being in a place that's probably semi used to being at. Even though, you know, they don't play in there, I'm just talking about an arena that's a couple of blocks from where their school is. I look for them to have a pretty good SEC tournament. I really do. It wouldn't surprise me if they make a nice run, Mark, through the SEC tournament the way they're playing better, the way they're playing.
No, I agree. I could see them going to the finals. I'm really looking forward to seeing the final brackets, because they're changing, you know, nightly as far as where teams are seated, and just to see who they get as far as the first round and where they're going to play. But I really do think that Vandy may earn their way in by winning the SEC tournament. That's one of the teams I think that could really do some damage because of their style and their peaking and their depth. I mean, they've had really good depth play that I didn't think this Vanderbilt team had, but they're really getting guys playing at the top of their game, you know, minus that loss against Kentucky. But it's, you know, not many teams are going to go in to Rupp and win anyway.
No.
So they played very competitive, but they've shown that they can play teams like Kentucky, and I just think that Vanderbilt's a team to really watch for in the tournament.
All right, guys, we reached the 1 hour mark. Nobody snapped here tonight. I haven't lost my mind. John Curry's going to meet the depressed tomorrow. Mark, I'll start with you. You put a tweet out, and I retweeted it today, but I'm going to ask you to expound here. Your tweet essentially said, Tennessee is the Portland Trail Blazers, and they just took Sam Bowie when they could have had Michael Jordan in this athletic director search. Doesn't sound like you're a big fan of the hire there, Marky boy.
No, I'm really not. I'm just